Welcome to The Spoken World, a platform created to tell stories by writers for writers from across the globe. And while we do that, we might realize that we're really not as different as we like to think that we are. It's episode 49, and yes, it's been a while, I know, don't come for me. But if you know me personally, you'd understand, since I've been killing it in the spoken word community. And if you don't know about this, then you should definitely be following me right now on TikTok and Instagram at i.am.hua. We're almost at 350k followers on TikTok, and we just hit 26k on Instagram. Not bad. Now, to today's story and guest, we are speaking with Emma Johnson about her book, A Golden Heart. To keep it short, The Golden Heart is a diary slash memoir detailing the experience of Paul and Emma Johnson when they discovered that their 8-year-old son Max had an enlarged heart. They were told that he had 33% chance of getting better, 33% chance of requiring a new heart, and 33% chance of passing away. This is an excerpt from the book, A Golden Heart. It was towards the end of the summer, as the light takes on a reddish golden hue, that we started to notice that Max was not himself. A persistent cough would raise its head with increasing regularity, lasting for several days at a time. This was accompanied by wheezing and occasional gulps of air. A trip to the GP resulted in a diagnosis of asthma, and we were duly issued with inhalers of various colors. Whilst these devices appeared to be working a little in the short term, the longer-term view did not offer much by way of improvement. In fact, people that knew Max were also starting to notice that he was not himself. That sparkle was gradually being extinguished by something. But what? I had the pleasure of having a chat with Emma about what appears to be the scariest time in their lives. I feel like really honored to get to speak with you. Like, there's just so much to talk about, but we'll start with you. So tell us about yourself, Emma.
Well, we're just, we're really just a very ordinary family. We live in, there's four of us in our family. So I'm Emma, and then my husband, Paul, and then we have two children, Harry, who's 15, and Max is 12 now. So there are the four of us, and we live in a little town in Mid Cheshire, which is sort of about an hour south of Manchester, in the northwest of England. And just a very normal family, really, until all this happened to us. We're locked down at the moment because of COVID-19. So Max is immunosuppressed. So we're shielding him. But, you know, before all this happened, we'd love going on day trips to places like garden centres. And we never imagined what was about to happen. Max was, until Max was 8, everything was absolutely as well as it could be as normal family life.
Yeah, wow. Max is 12 now. In the book, he's 8, then 9. He turned 9 later on. You know, I never even thought about what the situation would be like for your family with, you know, the pandemic and all that. But you sound like you're holding up well. Even though if things are might be a bit difficult, you've been able to pull through this far. So speaking about Max, I remember at the very beginning of the story, you described him as someone who took pleasures in, you know, the simple or mundane things. Although I noticed while reading the book that it was written from the perspective of Paul, right?
That's right. So the book it's written from Paul's perspective. So he does the main narrative, but then the book is interspersed with my voice in the format of diary entries. So my diary entries were real time. They captured what was happening when Max was in hospital, whereas Paul's parts of the book are him recalling what happened as he was writing the book. So it's quite a nice balance.
Yeah. At the beginning, when you started noticing some complications with Max, the first thing that he was diagnosed with was asthma. which was later corrected, and then he was diagnosed with dilated cardiomyopathy. Which is a really big word.
Max was suffering from heart failure and diagnosed with a condition called dilated cardiomyopathy. What that means is that his heart had become so large, dilated and weak, that it no longer pumped the blood around his body effectively.
So walk us through that experience. You starting to notice that there was something wrong, and then, you know, the wrong diagnosis before we came about the right one.
Yeah, it's quite common for dilated cardiomyopathy to be misdiagnosed as asthma. But what happened in our case is that it was the autumn of 2016 when we noticed that Max was sort of coughing a lot. We also noticed that he seemed to be really lacking in energy. So we actually ended up taking him to the doctors, I think, four times in total. But the first three times, the focus was on asthma. But then I think on the third visit to the GP, a heart murmur was detected, which at the time it was felt that could be completely innocent. But nevertheless, you know, it was a concern. And then it was about a week after that that Max was sort of gulping air. And also by this point, I'd noticed he'd lost a lot of weight, and he was complaining of pins and needles in his feet. So I went back to the GP, and this time I was quite assertive, and I said, you know, I'm not convinced this is asthma. It seems to me that he's deteriorating physically and spiritually. And what about this heart murmur? Surely that's got some significance. So it was at that point then that the doctor said, right, OK, let's send Max for a chest X-ray to check Max's heart. We went for the chest X-ray on the Tuesday, and that was really tricky because we had to walk up a big hill to get to the infirmary. And Max could barely get up the hill. I almost had to half carry him. He just couldn't walk those steps up the hill, and that was a real concern. And he had the chest X-ray, and the lady doing the X-ray was very pleasant. But when she showed us the X-ray, Max and I both remarked very innocently, gosh, it's huge. I didn't know hearts were that big. And the lady just said nothing. And I sort of looked at her, and there was almost a poker face, and you think, there's more to this. So I actually remember going home and Googling enlarged heart, and it came up with dilated cardiomyopathy. And I remember thinking afterwards, gosh, Google was right. They say you should never Google medical conditions. But so then what, 2 days later, he deteriorated and started vomiting. And he had his cough had become very wet, like a wet, gurgly cough, and also persistent vomiting. So at this point, we rang, an ambulance came. We rang for an ambulance because it was so bad. An ambulance came and took him to our local hospital, and they were able to retrieve the X-ray that he had had 2 days previously. And they were able to see that Max's heart was enlarged. So they said to us at that point, this has nothing to do with asthma. Max has got an enlarged heart. We can't deal with it in this hospital. And we need to arrange an urgent transfer to the Royal Manchester Children's Hospital. So we ended up going very urgently, because again, Max deteriorated in the hospital to the point where we were basically told he had a 50-50 chance of getting safely to the hospital, to the one in Manchester, which was really scary. But we got there, and then that was the first time we got the diagnosis, because they did an echocardiogram in intensive care on Max's heart. And it was then that we were told that he's got dilated cardiomyopathy, which means that your heart becomes enlarged and therefore it can't pump the blood properly around the body. And the most devastating part of that diagnosis is that we were told that Max had a third of a chance of getting better, a third of a chance of needing a heart transplant, and a third of a chance of passing away. So we'd gone from thinking he had asthma to thinking we might lose him pretty much overnight. So that was, and the theory goes that Max got a virus, and he had a sore throat in the September, and the virus dropped from his throat down into his heart and attacked his heart. So by the December, he was in a really bad way.
It was at this moment that everything changed. Their world had been turned upside down, and whether Max lived was broken down to probability. I wonder how the little 8-year-old boy took the news that he'd be needing a new heart.
And then you had to break it to him. How did that go?
Oh, yeah. So what happened was, we spent 1 month at the Royal Manchester Children's Hospital, and they were hoping that maybe Max would respond to medication. A drug called Milrinone that goes, it's an in vitro medication. Unfortunately, Max was not doing well, and that's when we were sent to the Freeman Hospital in Newcastle, the northeast of England. So that's a really good question, because it was a very difficult conversation. So obviously, I had the support of an amazing lady called Claire Nocter from the Royal Manchester Children's Hospital, and she and I sat down and basically said, Max, there's a chance you might need a new heart. We're going to Newcastle to find out. But he was extremely upset, and he sent a message to, because Paul was back in Cheshire at this point, because we were sort of to-ing and fro-ing, because we had Harry to think about as well. And Max was very upset, crying. He sent a text to Paul saying, Dad, I'm done for, you know. We just had to sort of soothe him and console him and say, you know, it's the doctors are doing what they can to sort of help you to get better. And if it means you have to have a new heart, then that's part of the treatment. And we just did our best with Max. And then Paul rang Max and had a chat with him, and you know, both Max and Paul were very upset. But then Max rang Paul back and said, and he reflected and he thought about it, and he'd had a nice chat with me on my own, and he said to Paul, Dad, look, I've had a think about it. If I have to have a new heart, I'll have a new heart. This old one of mine is no good anyway, but let's do this. I'll take that.
Yeah. I felt like he acted really maturely. It's normal for you to get really upset and emotional that you'd be, you know, swapping an organ. I can't even imagine how it would be for an 8-year-old child to have to go through that. So, like I said before...
So now we'll talk about the structure of the book. It was co-authored by both Paul and Emma Johnson. But Emma's part was written more like a journal, and that's because she was documenting this as it happened. She called it Diary of a Heart Mom.
So what was happening was that I was getting loads and loads of messages from family and friends. So how are you? How's Max? And it was starting to become almost burdensome, keeping on top of everybody's queries. And understandably, you know, people were concerned and, you know, wanted to make sure we were coping okay and offer their help. But it became too time consuming trying to look after Max on the ward and answer everybody's messages. So I thought, well, the one way would be to actually, once a week on a Sunday, I'll just write down my thoughts, what's happened that week, and send it to all my friends and family through this virtual platform. I think it was called myvisitingroom.com or something like that. Whereas Facebook, you tend to put shorter messages, this platform allowed you to put like a long, almost like a blog. So it started to sort of keep people at bay in a way. And then if people then wanted to ask me questions, you know, there were fewer queries you had to then manage. So it helped a lot to keep people informed about what was happening with Max. As I got into the habit of doing this blog every Sunday, it became actually more about helping me as well as informing everybody what was going on. So I found it really therapeutic. I found it cathartic to process the week's events in one blog.
Right. And then going to the point where you talked about the organ donation law, how is it like making the decision to put Max's story on the mirror and then, you know, pushing for the Change the Law for Life campaign?
Now we'll talk about the Change the Law for Life campaign and the Johnson's impute on this. For those of us that don't know what the law for life is, let me try to break it down. So organ donation is when a person or the person's family consents to have their organs donated should they have passed on. So those organs can be used to save other people. While this is a great sacrifice, there was still a shortage. This campaign, the one that Max and his donor greatly influenced, is to change this law into an opt-out system where everyone is considered to have agreed to donate their organs unless they or their relatives opt out. So the choice is still yours, but this way there's a lot of awareness. They pushed for this in their interview with The Mirror, and this is how the law for life became Max's law.
Yeah, that's another really good question. So it was, what happened was that in mid-February 2017, Max had to have a mechanical pump fitted inside his heart because he wasn't he was getting worse again, and that there was a worry that without that he would pass away. So they put the mechanical pump inside. That was open heart surgery, and that was that pump would help Max's body to pump blood around his body. Not as good as a fully functional heart, but still quite good, because at this point Max's heart function was only 15%, so he didn't really have a great chance of surviving until a heart came, unless they intervened with this technology, which was absolutely amazing. So by May 2017, it was around the end of May, we'd been staying in a place called Scott House, which was on the hospital grounds, and it's funded by an amazing charity called the Sick Children's Trust. Actually, some of the proceeds from the book we're going to be donating to the Sick Children's Trust, as well as to other charities. But the manager of Scott House approached me and said, would I share my story with the Sick Children's Trust media office, and they could do a story about Max and what had happened to him and how Scott House was helping our family as a place to live free of charge on the doorstep of the hospital. So a lovely lady called Amy helped me put together a sort of a piece about what had happened, and she worked for the press office there, and she shared that sort of story with various media outlets, including the Mirror. And then she approached me and asked, would I be prepared to... The Mirror had approached her, and having read this story and wanted to have an interview with our family. Well, Scott House and the Sick Children's Trust has been so amazing, and we're so grateful for having, you know, accommodation so near to Max, you know, over 300 miles from home, that I thought, you know, it's the least I could do to sort of promote the Sick Children's Trust, if you like. But I also thought, you know, this actually could do a lot to raise awareness about organ donation. So I arranged to have an interview with Jeremy Armstrong, who's the reporter from The Mirror. And it was at that point that he talked about the campaign and to change the law for life, and they would love us to get involved in the campaign. And so we agreed, and we went away and we spoke to Max and said, Max, they're doing an article in The Mirror about what's happened to you. Would you be happy to be involved and let us share a photograph of you? And Max, you know, we chatted about it, and he said, well, if it helps me and if it helps other children, then yes, why not? So we shared what was quite an impactful photograph of Max looking at his sickest, and you could see his body looked very broken and underweight, but he had a sort of a half smile on, you know, and pleading eyes. And it just, there was something about that photograph, and we knew it was a difficult one to share, but we knew it could have a really big impact on people's attitude towards whether to donate organs or not. So that's how it started. And then it just, after that, we carried on campaigning. And then even after Max's transplant, we carried on the campaign. So
on the next episode of The Spoken World.
The heart wasn't functioning properly, so the operation was cancelled. There was a 20% chance that Max wouldn't make it through the operation. So the thought crossed our mind that, gosh, there's a family somewhere out there that's suffering from the most horrendous, terrible grief that you can imagine, but who has had the strength to say, yes, please donate our child's organs to save others.
Part 2 is up now, so go listen. Credits to the awesome background music, Boys Know They Smile by Memma Music. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at The Spoken World and send us an email, well, anything really, thespokenworldpodcast@gmail.com. My name is Hua from Nigeria.